Welcome back to the Music Marketing Podcast. Today we're joined with Bets Chadbourne, who is the Digital Marketing Manager at Virgin EMI. Hi, Bets.
Hi.
So Bets has done some massive campaigns for Lewis Capaldi, the Vamps, New Hope Club,
yep.
Bastille, the list goes on. So you've obviously done some really massive projects. Why don't you sort of tell us about what your job even involves?
I think it's one of those things that when people ask me, it's really hard to describe, because I think when people think digital, they think, oh, you're a social media manager. Mm. And I do work a lot with social media managers and digital agencies, but as cliche as it sounds, my job is very varied. Every day is different. But the main things that I do, I create digital rollouts for campaigns, so singles, albums, everything that you see online, you know, that's kind of come from my brain and me working with our content team and the marketing team. I create concepts for content shoots. I direct all of those. I work with podcasts, digital partners like Lad Bible, BuzzFeed, TikTok. So yeah, it's kind of every day is very different.
Wow. Where do we even like start with that? That's insane.
That list is insane. That sounds like everything you handle basically yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
So what's kind of the main aim for artists when they come to you, when they kind of get signed? What kind do you feel your job is?
I think when we first meet artists, it's very much a kind of relationship building exercise. We always try and find out about them, like what they love, what they want to achieve from working with us. And then it's, you know, finding out if they're comfortable online, if they use social media themselves. And you'd be quite surprised how many artists are like, I hate it. I hate Instagram. I hate YouTube. So it's very much building the blocks from nothing. And then it's kind of, It's a very like tailored bespoke service. So whatever their goals are, we try and create a bespoke campaign around that.
Mm-hmm. So if an artist does literally despise social media, because mm-hmm. we know most artists do, it's not their go-to, it's not something they really want to focus on. Do you have to persuade them in a way to actually want to use it? Or do you yourself sort of have to take control and give them like a full-blown strategy?
I think it totally depends. I mean, some artists come to us and they're like, I use Instagram but nothing else. And we kind of have to explain to them that it's an all-around thing. You can't just pick one platform and mm-hmm. that's it. Some artists, we literally have to teach them from scratch. Like, this is how to use it. These are the best practices. Some artists, we have to kind of start ourselves and, you know, create their accounts and build it ourselves. And then we'll get an agency involved. It completely depends on the artist.
Mm-hmm. So if someone, say, does do really well on Instagram.
Yes.
And they've got a great audience, they're really engaged, they're great at Instagram. Mm-hmm. Do you say you can't put all your eggs in one basket? You need to be across all of them? Is that how you guys work?
Yeah, I kind of frame it usually that, like, you know, Facebook is sort of like your Wikipedia page. It's where people go to find information about tour dates and who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, Twitter is how you fully engage with your fans. You have direct conversations with fans. Instagram is like, a lot of people are most comfortable with Instagram because it's what they use day to day. So it's just like, carry on using that as you would. Like, don't try to be something that you're not. Mm. And then YouTube, I think, is kind of the most scary thing to artists because they don't see it as a social platform. But it's so important. Like, so many young people are on YouTube today.
Yeah.
And they think it has to be this high quality, like, overproduced content all the time. And I'm like, no, you can literally just use your phone and people will still engage with that. Mm.
And for the benefit of the audience, are there any, like, standout campaigns where you feel like they've been super innovative? Do you want to take us through some campaigns which you've done in terms of content and kind of taking it from beginning to end?
So a couple spring to mind. Obviously, the whole Lewis Capaldi campaign is a bit of an anomaly.
He gets mentioned so much on
people
our podcast.
Yeah. He's such a good... We talk about him too much.
I think he's kind of... It's really funny because when he first came to us, he was very much... You know, he used social media, but he was very much... He didn't know who to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, our team and my colleague Rory, who you guys interviewed before, we worked really hard to kind of bring him out of his shell. And people think that it's a strategy, but it's totally, he's just wholly himself. It's like his brand is himself. Mm. And I think people really appreciate the rawness of that.
Did you have to be pushed to be on social media and do the, did you basically say you're quite a funny guy, why are you not doing stories? Or was it just natural to him?
I think he kind of thought, why do people want to see me? They want to see me as an artist, but actually it's really the other way
around.
We hear
that a lot. Mm.
And I also think that a lot of people think that his comedy is scripted, but it's totally him, which is why it's so authentic and why people respond so well to it. But in terms of other campaigns, I did one for the Taylor Swift Reputation campaign around her first single, Look What You Made Me Do. And it was like a huge fan activation in the UK. And there's a line in it that's like, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. So we picked like 10 phone boxes around London. We put in an answering machine service, and then fans had to come and leave the old Taylor a message. And then these voicemail messages went onto a web page, and fans could upvote their favorite one, and the best one won tickets. And we were like blown away by like the response. People were coming from like Europe and flying in to come and do this. Another one that I did was with Bastille recently, actually, for Bad Decisions, which is their latest single. We did like a Snapchat scavenger hunt where we hid letters from one of the lyrics in all their top streaming cities globally, and then fans had to work together online using a hashtag to figure out the phrase, put it into this page, and unlock a piece of content.
That's so cool.
For our audience, what is fan activation?
It's basically that. It's like coming up with something creative that fans can actively get involved in that will give us the social noise and maybe push people towards streaming. You know, artists don't want to be telling fans, go stream my single, go watch my video. You've got to do it in a kind of subtle way. And I mean, fans are so smart that now they kind of, they know our tricks. They're like, this is because you guys want us to stream the single, right? It's like, yeah, but at least you're having fun doing it.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously not part of Virgin EMI, but it might be really interesting to speak about the whole Justin Bieber thing.
Yes.
Do you think that was something that, for people that don't know this, Justin Bieber obviously has been massively pushing Yummy.
Yeah.
Done like 5 separate YouTube videos to obviously get the hype around the track, and then recently created a graphic where he's saying basically stream on repeat. I don't know if that was a fan that created that or what. Do you think that's something that labels potentially pushed, because there's so much pressure for artists of especially his size to chart now?
So Justin is actually part of Virgin EMI. He is on our label.
Was that a marketing decision then?
I think sometimes it comes from the label side, sometimes it comes from, obviously it's an artist conversation as well, we're never going to do something that the artist doesn't want to do.
Yeah.
But I do think that there is something quite nice and raw in an artist just being really upfront, being like,
yeah,
this is my career, this is what I want, be number one. And, and you know, Lewis does it as well in his stories all the time, go buy my stuff. And people kind of like that, because it's like, you know, this is your lifeblood, this is what you want, and what's the harm in asking people to...
So it's interesting that as well, I don't know if this was, it probably was Virgin again, Justin did the collaboration with David Dobrik.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Was that,
how did that come about?
That didn't come out of us, because he's actually with Def Jam in the US.
Okay.
So that's their kind of domestic territory, and they kind of do all
the strategy. That was fantastic. So I know you mentioned as well when we spoke previously that you look at some sort of influencer marketing.
Yes.
Is that the sort of stuff that you look at, like collaborations and getting them involved in content?
Yes. So we actually have a head of influencer marketing at Virgin EMI. And a lot of the stuff we do, it can be anything from seeding. So we reach out to influencers and say, are you a fan of this artist? Like, do you want to push the single? You create the content, whatever you want to do. And sometimes we do the kind of in-person content. We'll pick somebody who we know the artist is friends with or has an affinity with, and we create a piece of content around that. For example, New Hope Club, the lead singer Blake is actually dating Bailey Madison, who is an actress. So she was in the music video. Sometimes we do that. We pull people into music videos, and it's kind of authentic because they already have that relationship. But we would never like reach out to a random person that doesn't know them or doesn't care about the music and be like, we just want to do this because you're famous.
Yeah.
If you get what I mean.
Yeah, it's just not authentic, basically.
No.
So for influencer marketing, for you, it's very kind of, it has to be organic.
100%.
Yeah, it's never like paid placement or like kind of hashtag ad, go stream this track or anything like that.
No, I think today, because it's like an attention, like an always on economy, everything has to be authentic because people sniff it out straight away. You know, the hashtag ad, a hashtag brand deal thing, like even with influencers, if they're working with a brand that isn't authentic, and the fans sniff it out straight away.
So how do you feel it works then with the artists? Because obviously some of them aren't very social media savvy.
Yes.
For it to be authentic, is it more that you sit down with them, understand their brand, kind of get their message out of them, and then create a content strategy accordingly? Or is it more you teach them how to use the platform so that they do everything themselves?
I think it's a bit of both. I think, you know, understanding the basic principles of social media and algorithms and how it works is really important. But definitely, I think it's important for the artist to stick to their personal brand. I have so many artists that get signed and come into me and they say, we want to be like Lewis Capaldi. We want our socials to be like Lewis. And I'm like, but you're not Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, you can't force yourself to be funny. And we're seeing that a lot online with other artists, you know.
Yeah.
They've seen the success of Lewis and they're like trying to be funny. And now it's like,
We found that as well. We found it so difficult to get artists to talk to camera and kind of be a bit goofy and out their shell.
Yeah,
Lewis
yeah.
Capaldi came along.
Everyone wants to do it.
Changed everything for us. Everyone wants to be Lewis Capaldi and trying to do funny skits now.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's kind of the opposite now. We're trying to stop them from doing it.
So you touched on YouTube before.
Yes.
A lot of artists aren't really on YouTube that much. They obviously have the music videos, maybe like a tour diary or maybe like a lyric video.
Yeah.
Do you think that that's something that people should be focusing on, creating content specifically for YouTube outside of the basic music videos?
100%. I think it's like a common misconception when artists get signed. They think YouTube is for music videos and behind the scenes and really overproduced content. But we are really focusing on our YouTube strategy for all of our artists, on creating those kind of more personal thing, the personality pieces. And I think that's something that the Vamps and New Hope Club particularly do very well. New Hope Club hit 1 million subscribers last week. And, you know, a lot of people in the kind of general ether may not know who they are, but they are so big in that YouTube community, and I think that's what's really helped to push their music. You know, a lot of people discover them from their YouTube channel and then are like, oh, you're actually a band. And I think that's really cool. And the same with Lewis, like, people think he's funny on socials and they're like, oh, you actually sing as well. So I definitely think that it's important to, if you're an artist, not just focus on being an artist. You are a person as well.
What kind of content did New Hope Club create on YouTube?
So they do a lot of like YouTube trends and challenges, you know, ASMR. We've done a lot of ASMR content. We did a series recently called NHC TV, which is a kind of Wayne's World vibe. We kind of got a studio and we built a set, and they had guests, other artists on our label and some influencer friends, and they just kind of did a bit of a chat show vibe, and fans responded really well to that because it's not content they're used to seeing from the guys.
Did they have a podcast as well?
They don't. The Vamps, Brad and James from The Vamps did a podcast a little while back called How Little We Know, which was kind of focused around challenges in youth culture, you know, social media, bullying, that kind of thing.
Do you think it's an important platform for, an important thing for artists to be doing now? Because
podcasts.
So many people are listening to them.
Yeah. Jessie Ware, who is with us, obviously she has her Table Manners podcast, and that has been so integral to everything. And actually a lot of people that listen to that don't realize that she's a singer. But we have so many artists now being like, I want to do a podcast, and it's like, well, you've got to think of something good like to talk about. You can't just like go off and do anything, you know.
Do you sometimes work on getting artists placed on podcasts for exposure, or is it more the creation of their own?
Not as much. I think we always try and focus more on the creation of their own, just as like an extra asset. But we definitely have had artist guests on podcasts, like Jamie Lang's podcast, New Hope Club guested on it last year.
Cool. So I know we're talking about Instagram, YouTube. What are your thoughts on TikTok? It's very hot right now. Are you a fan?
Not personally.
Not,
I mean, in my mind, it's a very teenage platform, but I think it's blown up so massively over the past year that everybody's kind of using it.
Yeah.
Even, you know, some of the YouTubers that I watch, some of the older YouTubers are like, I'm on TikTok now. I think it's really cool, though, because it's, you know, it's replacing what we lost from Vine, that kind of short form, bite-sized content. And it, actually, people say, you know, I want to consume this short content, but they're sitting there for hours scrolling through all the videos.
Yeah.
And most of our audience is emerging artists as well. Like, how you've got TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat. Like, how do you come up with a content strategy in terms of sitting down with the artists? And you mentioned kind of getting a feel for what they're about, but how do you define where they go? Like, how did New Hope Club decide to do YouTube and know it was for them? And what kind of content can they create on social media?
I think after you find out who they are as people, their personal brand, it's, you know, figuring out who their target market is going to be, who their audience is going to be. And with New Hope Club, you know, they're a pop band. Their audience is primarily teenagers, young girls, and then it's figuring out where they are, and they're on TikTok and they're on YouTube. So that is our focus. You know, New Hope Club have a massive TikTok, they have a massive YouTube channel. But with another artist, for example, Blossoms, who are one of our indie bands, obviously their audience is primarily male and they're a bit older, you know, 25 to 34, and they're not necessarily going to be on TikTok. But I think it's really important, you know, some artists say, I don't want to do TikTok because it doesn't fit my brand. And it's like, but you want to expand your audience, right? You want people who wouldn't necessarily listen to you to see you in a different light. And so we always encourage people to use all platforms, but maybe we'll focus on particular ones in a strategy.
Do you have to pitch to the artist quite hard for ideas a lot in your role? Or do you kind of just tell them this is what you're doing? How's the relationship there?
I think it depends, really. Some artists are really involved in campaigns, and they want to sit down and brainstorm ideas with you and kind of be part of the creation. Some artists want you to pitch to them and they'll pick. I think it is totally artist dependent, and that's why building a relationship with the artist is really important. You know, at Virgin EMI, we're sort of all like a very big family, and we have individual rosters, and everybody has a great relationship with our artists, because otherwise, you know, if there's not that trust there, then why would they listen to what you say? I definitely find with the artists that I'm closer to, you know, the campaigns tend to do better because they know what my job is, I know what they're trying to achieve, and it just kind of all works together.
How do you convert it as well? Once you've created this content, a lot of our comment section, we got a lot of criticism when we say create content such as New Hope Club, and then converting it into streams. So you say that a lot of the fans say, we didn't even know you made music, for example. How do you do that? Do you have plugs within the content, or do you just have the audience and then use the Instagram to kind of do swipe ups? How do you go about effectively taking it from the content to kind of getting them to listen to the music?
Obviously, there's the whole like boring admin side of things. So, you know, YouTube descriptions will always have links to the music in there, swipe ups, as you say. But we always try and do it in creative ways. So if we're creating a piece of YouTube content, we'll do something that's based around the name of the single. So New Hope Club's most recent single, Let Me Down Slow, we did a lot of content based around that. And then they'll say at the beginning, you know, my new single, Let Me Down Slow, is out, and this is our video based around that title. And then it doesn't feel as like directly pluggy. But we also do a lot of stuff that, you know, promotes streaming. We do something called a Spotify listening party. It's kind of like a chat room vibe, and we have like the album or track playing on loop in the background, but you know, fans are chatting to the artists in this chat room. Sometimes they don't realize that the track is playing, and you know, we're getting streams and they're being exposed to the music. So it's just kind of being creative about it. I think,
do you do any other sort of events at all within your role, or is it mainly just sort of the digital side of things?
No, we do a lot of events as well. We do a lot of like album listening parties or fan events based around album launches or whatever. We did one for the Vamps a couple of years back for their album Night and Day, and we did it in the YouTube space in King's Cross, and we invited a ton of fans down. We had some kind of mechanic to invite them, and we got a load of influencers, and you know, there was a beauty influencer that did the guy's makeup, and there was like a hair influencer that did their hair, and we kind of live streamed it all, and we did like a Q&A and stuff. We do a lot of like live streaming things with partners like YouTube and TikTok.
Cool.
And you guys arrange the shooting of it, the scripting of it, or you just kind of work with them and help them?
Mainly us and the ACC team kind of collaborate to do it. So, you know, I'll write the script, they'll be the videographers, I'll direct it, and then we edit it all after. We have like a, you know, a big hand in it all.
I guess it makes it so much easier having everything together as a whole, because surely you can just sit down with the band and then you've got everyone in-house who does every single area of it, I guess.
Yes, 100%. It's nice kind of having everybody really nearby to soundboard.
And you mentioned earlier that you kind of work with other platforms like Unilad and Lab Bible.
Yeah.
How does that work exactly? Do you create the content and then sort of pitch it to them, or do you work with them prior to creating the content?
It sort of depends. A lot of the time we will go to them and we'll say, we have this artist, this is what they're about, do you think they'll fit your platform? And if they say yes, then we'll work together on some ideas and they'll organize the shoot, which is nice.
Yeah.
You know, nice little break for me. And we'll go down and we'll film it with them, and then we'll discuss discuss the strategy together. But I do think, you know, the partners are really important to expand artists. You know, their channels are all well and good, but you want to reach that new audience.
Mm-hmm. And is that mainly on Facebook or is it on Instagram, TikTok, all of the others?
Everything. It totally depends. Obviously, mm-hmm. Lab Bible are kind of primarily on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we work with Puberty and I'm Just Bae on Instagram. We work with a lot of meme pages. Mm-hmm. Obviously, TikTok we work very closely with. Influencers on YouTube. Totally depends. Snapchat is a
we keep forgetting about Snapchat.
Yeah, we do, yeah.
Yeah, when we did the discussion with Liberty straight after, she was like, you guys need to look at Snapchat. Do you work quite a lot on Snapchat then?
Yeah, we do. We do a lot of digital advertising on Snapchat, actually, especially okay. for our younger artists and the more pop-focused artists. We find that actually works the best mm-hmm. of all our digital advertising. And obviously... we have an internal publisher that they do a lot of like shows on Snapchat, so we work mm. with them as well.
And when you say like the advertising, is that something that you do as well, the ad stuff?
I don't personally book in the advertising, but I do work with our advertising team because obviously I have a big hand in the strategy and the content mm. that's created. Mm-hmm. So we kind of want to make sure that that content is being used in the right places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we talk about social media advertising quite a lot. A lot of artists are quite anti it because they feel like everything should be organic and that if yep. you're paying for that space, what do you find that is actually effective with ads? Is it the stuff that's more content and more like New Hope Club stuff where they're doing like mm-hmm. sit down chats, or is it more like straight up promotional video?
I think it really depends on the artist. We mm-hmm. find a lot with our heritage acts that, you know, tour videos, cuts of them playing live work really well because a lot of people have seen them live or want to yeah. see them live. So Westlife, for example, that would work really well. But with some of our younger artists like Lewis, New Hope Club, it's the personality pieces, like mm. them just talking to camera and like nothing overly produced that mm. works the best.
Yeah.
Internally in Virgin EMI, what's kind of your target? Is it streams or is it like fans? Like what does the artist or your boss come back to you and say we need more of? Is it kind of fans or looking at the streams on Spotify constantly?
I think it's artist dependent, but it's all important. You know, we have planning meetings and everybody from different departments sit around and kind of discuss their strategy, and then we work together to see how we can amplify what they're doing, and they do the same for us. I think streams obviously are extremely important. Radio plays, but the community, the fans, the people that are buying the music, they're listening to the music. You know, if you don't have a community, then you're not going to get any streams. So that's kind of where we come in.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned that some artists, like you're even creating the accounts for them from blank. Like mm-hmm. where do you even start with that? Because it's obviously no one knows that they exist. How do you start getting even that first 100 followers for an artist?
It's really difficult. It doesn't happen that often that an artist will not be on a platform at all. Mm-hmm. You know, we work very closely with our A&R department to make sure, you know, that people kind of do have a presence or do have an understanding when they come to us. But growing an artist from nothing is extremely difficult. And, you know, even with us, you know, when artists come to us, a lot of the time they already are established and we're just kind of like bouncing off yeah. what's already mm. there. So we have to really go to the drawing board if it's starting from scratch.
Yeah.
I think the main thing with starting from scratch is understanding your personal brand. What's your niche? What are you trying to convey? And then it's like a lot of grind work of like following relevant accounts and mm. joining conversations. I always say like you can't just expect it to grow. You have to be like involved and be talking to people and telling, explain to people like what you're trying to achieve.
Mm. And when they are established, kind of what are your mm-hmm. tips there? Do you try and like get other accounts to share the content that you mm-hmm. create? Or do you just kind of like make sure that during live events that people can go to the Instagram? What are those main drivers of growth on social media?
I think when people are already established, it's more about reaching the new audiences, as I said earlier. So it's working with the influencers, working with the publishers and the partners to kind of get that reach and get them out in front of different audiences. Obviously, we try and plug Instagram accounts and social accounts wherever we can, you know, at live shows, whether it's on the digital screens, and obviously with the fan activations, making sure people are aware that, you know, the social platforms are there. We do a lot with like CRM, mail. We still use mailers, and we're always driving to people to social as accounts,
like,
through those
emailing lists.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, they're still quite effective, are they?
Or? Yeah, 100%. It's one of our main channels.
How do you build emailing lists? We get this question all the time, and honestly, I don't know the answer fully. How do you build a mailing list for an artist and kind of plug it?
So when I first started at Virgin EMI, we used to hand out sheets at gigs and get people to write down their emails.
Old school.
Now it's a bit more digital, so we'll do activations. We'll be like, sign up, you know, to the mailing list to win or whatever. Incentives usually work best, if I'm completely honest. And then I think once we have that small audience on the mailing list, we'll like do a screen grab or something on social saying, oh, look what the people on the mailing list have seen. And people are like, oh, am I missing out on something that's not on social? We try and do exclusive things just for people on the mailing list to drive people there.
Okay. So you've spoken a lot about kind of the content and the strategies behind it. Do you find that when there's an actual release or like an album, do you do sort of like stunts in a way that when you really, really see something working, and it's something that you expect to sort of go viral? Do you guys work on stuff like that? Or is it more like, we want to create content surrounding this, fingers crossed it does, it really blows up?
I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of artists will be like, I want to do something viral, and we're
such
like,
a buzzword.
it doesn't really work like that. Yeah. And when things do go viral, it's usually as much of a shock to us as it is to them. And
I guess like
the
Lewis Capaldi plunger.
Yeah,
that was never planned to go viral, and look at it now.
And that wasn't even us. That was literally just him.
I was so
being
sure that
Lewis.
Was planned.
Yeah, who did we ask Rory?
It was Rory who said it wasn't planned.
I promise you, it wasn't. That was just him being Lewis.
That's great though, because it's always the things that actually do go viral. I think everyone's like, the marketing team planned that, didn't they?
No, I wish that we were that.
You mentioned getting influences in music videos as well. And the best I've seen is Drax Project with Liza Koshy. Do you know that one?
I know Liza Koshy.
Okay, she was in Drax Project. I think it was Sony who did it. And they got like 10 million views. What kind of influences have you worked with? And kind of what's the logistics behind it? For that kind of example,
it's specifically in music videos.
I would say music videos. You can give us other examples as well, and it's kind of more of an open question. It's just I kind of really like the idea of having an influence in a music video.
One example that springs to mind is Sophie Turner, who was in Game of Thrones, was in a Bastille music video a few years back, and that blew up because obviously Game of Thrones was huge at the time. But music videos are actually within our creative department, so they kind of deal with all of that, and we'll collaborate on like which influencers we think will be a good fit for the artist. As I said, you know, you want it to be authentic. But a lot of the time artists will come to us and be like, oh, it's, you know, my mate that's actually got 20 million followers on YouTube, can they be in the video? And we're like,
yeah
go for it.
And then they just basically plug it.
Yeah.
Are music videos still important for an artist as well? Because obviously with Spotify and Apple Music, people are streaming more.
Yeah.
Is the music video still important?
I think so. I mean, it's a piece of content. You know, it's a very produced piece of content, but I think there's still a lot of clout in it, and people, you know, we do a lot of YouTube premieres, and we still have thousands of fans that sit there in that chat room waiting on the countdown for the
music
video.
Does the artist get involved in the premiere as well? Are they there or...?
A lot of the time, yes, we always encourage them to do it. We always encourage them to jump in the comments after the video is over and kind of answer people's questions. And we find that there's a really good response from that.
And how much control is actually given to the artist with their social? Obviously, someone like Lewis, it does sound like he just posts what he wants to. Are there some situations where you literally just have their Instagram account and you can post when you want to?
No, we don't do a lot of social media management in-house.
Okay.
I like to say that a social media manager is not there to be the artist. They're there to amplify the artist. They're there to advise. So, you know, we would never advise an artist to just sit back and we'll just do everything. You know, even our biggest artists, you know, Taylor, Justin, Katie, they still see all of the posts that go out. They approve everything. Even if they're not physically posting it, they have a heavy involvement in everything that goes out.
And they're logged into the accounts on their phones and able
they
to
see, they
do
see all
the
comments. They go through
like
the comments. They reply
it's
to DMs.
It's good to hear, though, because so many artists, there's like a bit of a stigma attached to their like a label now, because everyone's like, as soon as you get signed, you lose all control. But with everyone we spoke to from labels, especially on this podcast, it's like you're actually given more people to help you be in more control, which I think is amazing.
I think it's a really big misconception generally for people who don't work at labels that we're this like horrible devil like machine. But I think people forget that the people that work in labels are just normal people who really love music. And we all do this because we want to make these people's dream come true. Like, we are all music fans ourselves. Mm. And yeah, it's just a big family that's there to support you on your career journey. Mm. It's nothing, we're not there being like, you need to do this. Mm. It's not like that.
I'd love to ask you more about the Unilad and the Bigger Pages collaborations. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you create the content? How do you not make it stick out like a clear just plug on Unilad? Mm-hmm. How do you work with them to create that content that's going to look native to what they'd usually post?
So I think obviously Unilad, Lab Bible, etc. have their own brands. They have, you know, they know their audience and they know what kind of artists they want to work with. So, you know, we wouldn't pitch every artist on the label to them. So they have their favorites and they have their formats that they regularly do, and they all come to us and be like, I think that Lewis would be excellent for this format. Mm. And, you know, we'll pitch it to Lewis. It's definitely not a you have to use this person because we gave you Lewis. It's whatever is authentic for their brand as well, because, you know, their audience is going to be able to sniff out if, you know, a tweeny pop boy band is on there and they're like, dude, this isn't your thing.
Is it more that because they know that Lewis being in their content will bring an audience that they would never, you have to like sort of negotiate on things, or is it like paid placement basically?
No, I think, you know, Lab Bible were fans of Lewis when nobody knew who Lewis was.
Yeah.
They've been working with our artists from when they were really small, and they've happened to blow up and it's been great for all parties involved. Mm. But we always try and work with partners that, you know, want to do it for the authenticity and for the artist rather than for the clout, if you get what I mean. Because, again, people will be able to sniff that out straight away.
Yeah, definitely. I think a good place to sort of end it would be where you see the future of your role as a whole, but sort of music marketing going, because things are changing so much. Obviously TikTok's been in for the past year or so. Where do you see it changing?
That's a big question.
So really hard question. Yeah, I know.
I mean, you know, I've been at Virgin EMI for nearly 4.5 years now, and even over that time it has changed so massively. Like, when I started, you know, people were still asking about MySpace skins.
Yeah.
And now there's so many more platforms. There's platforms that weren't around when I was there. But I think with digital especially, our role is just becoming more and more integral to labels and to artist campaigns. And it's also like blurring the lines, you know, so many other departments, they're becoming digital as well. And it's all kind of becoming one big like amalgam of online. Mm-hmm. So I think in the future, I think it will be less departmental, and it'll be all be like everybody together collaborating rather than separated. But obviously I have to say that the future is online.
Yeah, of course. And one more thing I wanted to touch on, because I think our audience would love this, because we talk about constantly, you have to have content.
Yeah.
You mentioned that the A&Rs look for people that already have an existing following.
Yes.
Do you think that without the content, artists are really going to struggle to reach a new audience but also engage their existing audience?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, you know, your content is your place to be truly yourself and express your personality. And if you don't have that, then you're kind of just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So I think content strategy genuinely is one of the most important things as an emerging artist.
Totally. Now, obviously you don't sign artists, but what are the labels looking for to sign an artist? Is it the number of followers, the fans, the ability to create content? Now, I know that you're not the one signing them, but from your end and seeing the artists coming through, what are the assets that they have?
I think it's a little bit of everything. We want to see that people, you know, have a personality and are comfortable in front of the camera and comfortable expressing themselves, not just on stage. We want to see that they have an engaged audience, that they know who their fans are and how to engage them. I think following is important, but it's not the most important. As I said, we sign people who don't even have certain social media accounts or have 1,000 followers. But if they have 1,000 followers and they're getting 1,000 comments, then we know that those people really care about the artist. Mm. And I think that's the most important thing, really.
Just having a community that are engaged.
Having a community, yeah, 100%.
What is the best way to get... I know you're trying to end the podcast. What is the best way to engage them, though? So if you've got like kind of fans and they're just liking your post, they're kind of a few comments, what's a kind of a good way for an emerging artist like who has like 20,000 followers to get them a bit more engaged?
Talking to them, ask them like what they want to see. ask them, you know, what other content they're enjoying, you know, look at their pages, look at pages that they follow and see what they're engaging with there, and then don't replicate it, but, you know, understand it and try and move that into your own personal brand. That would be my biggest piece of advice.
Are you okay for me to end it?
Yes, you can end the podcast now.
Thank you so much for coming on. Where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram at Betsy Kate, BetsyCait.
We'll link it in the description. Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed the podcast, make sure to leave a review. If you enjoyed it on YouTube, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, and we'll see you in the next one.